sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Welcome. You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the world. I'm your host, Diggy, and as usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I get to answer a question that's been sent in from one of you. This week's question was an anonymous question, and it says, I've noticed that the show has gotten shorter lately. I prefer it this way because it fits into my commute better. That was actually the whole comment. It wasn't even a question, but I saw it and I thought, maybe I should address it just in case. So thank you for whoever sent that in. And yes, the show has gotten shorter lately. My goal, I've probably mentioned this in the past, I never had a time frame in mind when I first started the show. I was aiming for like 5 to 10 minutes, then it jumped up to an hour. Some shows have been over an hour, some shows are about 30 to 40 minutes. And my goal is to aim for around the 30-minute mark. I don't care if it's a little bit less or a little bit higher. Some weeks are going to be longer shows. Some weeks are going to be shorter shows. If you want a longer show, you can get that in That's a Freebie Plus because there's always the extra bit that I pop on at the end. But yeah, for the most part, most episodes are going to be around 30 minutes. And the exact reason for that, interestingly enough, is I find it's a good balance for my recording and editing time. And the other reason is because it is pretty good for a commute. Most commutes for the majority of people are around half an hour. And I find that the longer shows that I listen to, I get a bit frustrated because I have to split them over, 2 days usually. The travel in, the travel back, and then the travel in, then the travel back. And you know, when you've got a lot of shows to listen to, that can be a bit of a pain in the butt. So having a 30-minute podcast is a little bit more digestible for the majority of people. So, yeah, I'm glad it's been noticed, so thank you. And, yeah, let's get on. If you'd like to ask a question to open the show, just head on over to the show notes, or you can go to thatsafreebie.com. In there, or on that link, you will find the new multi-purpose feedback form. It allows you to submit questions for Ask a Freebie, general feedback, and also it allows you to submit topics for Pod Tales too. I'm having a bit of an odd week this week when it comes to recording. The reason being is there's currently a guy in my backyard smashing down my decking. So it's really, really noisy. So I've had to relegate to one of the bedrooms. And there's no surface in here to put anything on. So I'm currently sat on the bed with the laptop on my knee and I'm holding the microphone in my hand. And it's quite a big, heavy microphone that I've got. It's a Shure MV7. If you want to know what it looks like, just Google it. So I'm having to hold it, which is a little bit uncomfortable, but we're getting through. So, yeah, I thought I'd mention that just in case there's any weird audio issues today. There might be just nothing that I could do about them, but I'll do my best. I've got some follow-up from some previous weeks. A few of you did point out that I mentioned last week that I was taking the kids to work with me when I was talking about our trip in the morning. I wasn't taking them to work. I was taking them to school. I do not make my kids work. They go to school. It's okay. Don't worry about that. That's what I was talking about. Tobias not wanting to count the minis in honor of his teacher. It was definitely school, I promise. And yes, I've heard you. I know. They are called zebra crossings, not pelican crossings. Yeah, I'm aware of it. Thank you for all the people that mentioned it. Sometimes when you're recording a podcast, you just don't have time to think. You say the wrong thing and you just can't critically think about what's going on with the words that are coming out of your mouth. I did Google it at the time and I Googled Pelican Crossing and I saw zebra crossings in the thing and I didn't even question it. I just went with it. But yes, they are called zebra crossings. I'm sorry. I apologize. So what's happened in my week this week? Well, not a great deal, but a little bit, you know, some interesting things. Something that I thought was humorous, so I popped this into my little show note for this week just to mention to y'all, just to show you a little bit of an insight into what goes on in my mind. So every morning, when I leave the house, and a lot of you probably have this same experience, I've got my AirPods in and I leave the house and the Ring doorbell sees me as I'm going out the house, or even when I'm coming home and I'll get a little notification, it'll say, somebody's at your front door. And every time I go, yeah, I know it's me. And my wife mentioned it the other day. She said, why is it whenever you come into the house or leave the house, you go, I know it's me. And I realized that no one else could hear that notification but me at the time. So nobody really knows what I'm saying. So yeah, I thought it was quite a little bit of a humorous story. What else happened this week? I got on the tram. And I've had this since explained to me, but at first I couldn't work out what was happening. But yeah, I got on the tram. I went to sit down. And the seat was covered in gloop. Is the only word I could think of describing it, and feathers. And I thought, wow, it looks like somebody's murdered a chicken here. So I sort of sat in the opposite set of seats, and I noticed a few people went to sit in it and realised what had happened, and were like, oh, what's going on there? I went and sat elsewhere. And then I mentioned it to a few people at work, and somebody pointed out that what's probably happened is a bird flew in and hit the window and just exploded all over the inside of the tram. Apparently they've seen it happen before. So yeah, that's basically a chicken didn't get murdered, but a pigeon did, or whatever bird it was. I assume a pigeon. Yeah. It was gross. It was gross. Now that I think about it, it was definitely blood that was all over the seat, but I couldn't quite tell at the time. Yeah. Awful. I slept on the sofa this week, not because I was in trouble, because the kids wanted to sleep downstairs and do like a camp out thing. We do it sometimes. We get the sofa bed out downstairs, we put a movie on, and we eat popcorn and so on and so forth, and then we all sleep on the sofa. And I'd been putting it off for a few days because I've got a really sore neck at the moment. I've had a sore neck now for a couple of weeks. I really need to get it looked at, but, you know, time and stuff. Turns out I slept on the sofa. It soft my sore neck for about a week. It's been fine for a few days. It started hurting again now, but it's actually been okay. So I'm assuming it's something to do with our bed that's causing my sore neck. Probably my pillow. I think I need to invest in a new pillow. Although my pillow's supposed to be an amazing all singing or dancing pillow, which is probably the problem. If it's singing and dancing underneath you while you're asleep, it's not going to do very well for your neck, is it? No, it isn't. I've got another tram story for you. This particular morning, I'm on the tram. I'm sat there. The inspectors get on the tram, as they often do nearly every morning. They get on the tram. I've got to the point where I'm just ready for it. I'll put my ticket up, blah, blah, blah. You know, the usual stuff. They get on, and there's a family at the front of the tram sat behind the driver who hasn't bought a ticket, a whole family. And I can kind of overhear what the inspectors are saying. And they're like, oh, silly you. You didn't realise you needed to buy a ticket, did you? Oh, well. But what we'll do, we'll let you get off at the next stop and you can buy a family ticket. And they looked up the prices for them online, found all the information, told them how much it'd be. One of the inspectors got off the tram with them and went to the ticket machine while the other inspector held the door open and let the driver know just to hold on a minute. They went and bought the ticket. They got back on the tram. Everything was hunky-dory. I thought to myself, that's nice. It's good to see that the inspectors are actually helping people rather than just immediately chastising them. Granted, you know, this family very clearly had just basically chosen to not buy a ticket. But you know what? I do think if you're given a chance to buy a ticket, that's okay. I'm fine with that, right? We get a couple of stops further down. There's somebody sat at the tram stop waiting to get on. The doors open, the inspectors are all sort of stood leaning on the opposite side of the tram, on the opposite doors, waiting for people to get on and then asking for the tickets. And this girl gets on the tram. She walks onto the middle of the tram, sees the inspectors, and then goes, oh. And the inspector looks at her and says, have you not got a ticket? And she said, no. She said, quickly go and tap in at the machine over there. So she went, okay, and she got off the tram, she ran to the machine, she tapped a card, you know, she put a contactless card on the machine, which basically is how you buy a ticket, or one way of buying a ticket. She gets back on the tram, and then the inspector steps up to her and says, okay, so let's take your name. And she starts taking all the details, and she gave her a fine as well. I couldn't believe it. So she gave her the opportunity to go and get a ticket, but then still gave her a fine. And then a few people sort of intervened and said, hang on a minute, why are you giving her a fine if she went and bought a ticket? She said she still boarded the tram without a ticket, which is true. She got on the tram first without the ticket. She said she still boarded the tram without a ticket. And, it, you know, we gave her a chance to get one so that she didn't have to get off at the next stop, but she still gets a fine. I was gobsmacked. I couldn't believe it. And she got a fine as well. I was very, very disappointed in that, especially with what happened with that first family. I don't think that was particularly nice at all. This week's buzz off is a phrase that I just do not like. Like, I genuinely hate this phrase, mostly because it's often used incorrectly. And it just irritates me when I hear it. But the phrase is, and it's you're probably not going to agree with me on this. I think a lot of people do like this phrase, but I don't. I hate the phrase, job's worth. Now, let me read you the official definition of that phrase or word. It's not really a phrase, is it? It's a word. It's a real word. It's not something that's been, like, it's not like slang or anything like that. It's in the dictionary and everything. And it's an official who upholds petty rules, even at the expense of humanity or common sense. I'm going to say that again because I read it weird. An official who upholds petty rules, even at the expense of humanity or common sense. Right? Now, I agree, that is a silly thing to do. I just don't like the phrase for it. And what I don't like mostly is that people use it for ridiculous reasons, like somebody goes to a shop and asks for a refund on something and it's 17 years old and you get called a job's worth for it. Yep, that's not what it is. That's not what it is at all. It's somebody not letting you go for a pee in an amusement park or something like that because it's on the other side of a barrier. I don't know. That's the example I can think of. Nothing has recently happened that's made me think of this. I heard it said on another podcast, and it just stuck with me how much I hate that phrase. I really, really do not like it. So yeah, job's worth. Could buzz off. This week on Pod Tales, I am continuing the Summer of Sleep. That's right, the Summer of Sleep. This week, we are going to be looking at sleep paralysis. Imagine waking up and being unable to move or speak, feeling a heavy weight on your chest and seeing shadowy figures lurking in your room. This eerie experience is known as sleep paralysis. It occurs when a person is conscious but unable to move or speak, typically during waking up or falling asleep. Episodes can be frightening, often accompanied by hallucinations, auditory, visual, or tactile, that intensify the fear. Thankfully, these episodes usually last only a few minutes, although they can feel much, much longer. The science behind sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis happens when there's a mismatch between the brain and body during REM sleep. REM stands for rapid eye movement. During REM sleep, your brain is highly active and most of your dreams occur, but your body is in a state of atonia or temporary paralysis to prevent you from acting out your dreams. Sometimes you wake up before this paralysis ends, resulting in sleep paralysis. This condition can affect anyone, but is more common in people with narcolepsy, those who experience sleep deprivation, stress, or irregular sleep schedules, and even runs in families due to genetic factors. The main symptom is the inability to move or speak during awakening. People often report hearing humming, hissing, or buzzing noises, feeling a pressure on their chest, experiencing tense headaches, or feeling electric tingles throughout their bodies. These symptoms are usually accompanied by intense fear and panic. Hallucinations or intruders or dark figures, often called sleep paralysis demons, are common, adding to the terror of the experience. The exact cause of sleep paralysis remains unclear, but several theories exist. One theory suggests it's a parasomnia resulting from the overlapping of REM sleep and wakefulness. Studies have shown that people who experience sleep paralysis have shorter REM sleep cycles and more fragmented sleep patterns. Another theory posits that the neural functions regulating sleep are out of balance, causing an overlap of sleep states. During normal REM sleep, the brain blocks external stimuli, but in sleep paralysis, this blocking mechanism fails, making it easier for stimuli to wake the individual. This malfunction, combined with the brain's emergency response system, creates vivid hallucinations and a heightening sense of threat. Hallucinations during sleep paralysis can be terrifying. Common ones include sensing an intruder, feeling a presence, or experiencing a floating sensation. The presence of an incubus, a demonic figure sitting on the chest, is a widespread hallucination. The brain's threat-activated vigilance system, meant to protect us from danger, goes into overdrive, interpreting these hallucinations as real threats. Sleep paralysis is diagnosed based on clinical interviews and ruling out other sleep disorders, such as narcolepsy or atonic seizures. There's no definitive cure, but treatments include improving sleep hygiene, cognitive behavioral therapy, and sometimes antidepressants. Educating patients into the condition can alleviate fears and reduce the frequency of episodes. Sleep paralysis is surprisingly common, affecting between 8% and 50% of people at some point in their lives, with about 5% experiencing regular episodes. It affects both males and females equally and has been described throughout history, often linked to stories of alien abduction and paranormal events. Throughout history and across cultures, sleep paralysis has been attributed to supernatural forces. In ancient times, it was thought to be the work of demons or spirits. For instance, in Albanian folklore, a spirit named Mokthi is believed to have caused sleep paralysis by sitting on the chest of its victims. In Bengal, it's attributed to a supernatural entity called Boba, who strangles the sleeper. Yeesh. In Egypt, sleep paralysis is often seen as an attack by jinn, malevolent spirits that can kill their victims. In Italy, it's explained as the work of various supernatural beings, like the Pandefece or the Amuntador, hard to say, who sit on the sleeper's chest. In Newfoundland, the phenomenon is known as the old hag, and victims are said to be hag-ridden. Wow, okay. In modern Western culture, sleep paralysis is sometimes explained as alien abduction. The hallucinations and sensations experienced during sleep paralysis are strikingly similar to the descriptions of those who claim to have been abducted by aliens. This interpretation highlights how cultural beliefs can shape the experience and understanding of sleep paralysis. Preventing sleep paralysis involves maintaining good sleep hygiene. That means sticking to a regular sleep schedule, reducing stress, and avoiding sleeping in the supine position, which is on your back, which has been found to increase the risk of sleep paralysis. That's interesting. Some people find that making minor lifestyle changes can significantly reduce the frequency of episodes. So to sum it all up, sleep paralysis is a fascinating and often frightening phenomenon that straddles the line between wakefulness and sleep. While it can be terrifying, it's generally harmless and can be managed with proper sleep habits and an understanding of the conditions by exploring its causes, symptoms, and cultural significance. We can better appreciate the mysterious and sometimes eerie world of sleep paralysis. In this week's That's a Freebie Plus, I am actually going to be revisiting sleep paralysis and talking about my own personal experience with sleep paralysis. So stick around for that. As a reminder, if you've got any subject you would like me to tackle on Podtails, just send me an email and I will build it into the show's schedule. If you want even more That's a Freebie, then you should join That's a Freebie Plus. just head on over to the show notes of thatsafreebie.com and click the link where you can join. It's just £4 a month. Your membership gets you the plus feed with the show sent out immediately after it's recorded, which includes almost zero edits other than, you know, long gaps. So you can hear me plan the show and hear all of my mistakes. This feed also includes the exclusive That's a Freebie Plus segment at the end of the show. And as I already said earlier, this week I'll be talking about my own sleep paralysis experience. And if you don't want to join Plus, that is okay. You can still help the show by sharing it far and wide and leaving a review in your podcast client of choice. For this week's pick of the week, I am continuing the trend of choosing a podcast from my currently listened to podcast list. And I'm continuing in alphabetical order because why break a trend, right? This week's podcast is a podcast called Connected, which is on Relay FM, I do believe, or Relay. They've just rebranded to Relay. It features Mike Hurley, Federico Vitici, that was hard to say, from Mac Stories, and Stephen Hackett. Mike Hurley and Stephen Hackett are actually the founders of Relay. And it's just a fun podcast. It's, as most of my podcasts, it is a technology-related podcast, but it's not a deep dive into the world of technology. It's more of a fun look at what's going on in the world of technology currently. It's one of those podcasts that does require, well, it doesn't require any homework, but there are a lot of in-jokes because it's been going for over 10 years now. It's a very old podcast, if you will. But it is quite easy to pick up the in-jokes as, you know, as you get through it, you do tend to understand where they're coming from because they do from time to time explain some of the stuff that's going on in there. So don't feel intimidated by it at first if you don't know exactly what's going on. It's definitely worth sticking around with, especially when the hosts of it are involved in a lot of other projects as well. So you do get to hear about a lot of their other projects. Like, for example, with Federico Vitici, I read Mac Stories, but I don't listen to many of the podcasts from Mac Stories, purely because I just haven't got the room in my life for anymore. But he does talk about some of the things that's been spoken about on these other podcasts, which helps sort of keep you in the loop, if you will, if you're into that kind of area of technology. So yeah, it's a good podcast. You should give it a listen. For this week's finale, you may remember that I asked you last week, how do you feel about sitting in the back garden? The reason I asked that is I've never really been a fan of sitting outdoors where possible. Like, even if I go in a cafe, like I don't, you know, we can sit outside and eat. Don't like that. Like, you get attacked by flies and bees, and they always seem to come for me. So I've never been a fan of it. And the other day, I was, after we'd finished, like, setting the pool up and sorting the back garden out a little bit, my wife wanted to sit outside on the decking, and I was like, yay, okay, let's do that. And within minutes, a spider ran right from my shoulder all the way down to my leg, and I was like, okay, I'm done. Not a fan of that at all. The bugs always seem to want to run through. I always want to bathe in my drink. Again, not a fan of that. Why would you want that to be a thing? And so, yeah, just really not a fan of the whole sitting outside thing, if you will. Now, it may just very well be that by the time, like, all the decking is done, everything's cleaned up, we've had a lot of the shrubs, I suppose, for lack of a better term, taken out in the back garden, you know, things that were attracting all this wildlife. We've sort of got rid of them because they're just not in convenient places. Like, they're growing up the side of the decking, and they're built that way. They were designed to do that. In fact, we discovered that one of them was being used as a support for the fence that goes around the decking. So that is loose at this moment in time as well. So just things like that that are, they've not been great, and so maybe I'll enjoy it more in the future. Who knows? We'll soon see. Thank you for listening this week. I have been Diggy. You can find me as Hey It's Diggy on pretty much all social media. You can find the show at That's a Freebie or That's a Freebie Podcast on, again, pretty much all social media. See you next week.